Well, brothers and sisters, I'd like to share something with you that I struggle with, and I'm not unique in that. I believe that you will find that you struggle with it as well. And you ever have anybody ask you if you had a good week? What does your mind immediately go to? What criteria do you use to determine if you had a good week or not? Was it that all things seemingly, for the majority of things, went well this week? It seemed like things just went how I was hoping they would go. Is that the criteria? It was a very profitable week. You had considerable income this week, therefore it was a good week. What does your mind go to? How do we evaluate whether it was a good week or not? And maybe to make it simpler, let's just look at, was it a good day? Did you have a good day? And I have found myself already in the midst of some type of trouble, thinking it could be worse. And that helps me feel better. But is that the right way to feel better? What was the criteria that I used to determine if it could be worse? Luke chapter 12 is where we'll get started. And it will be a frequent question. Is this a good day? Or would this be what you think of as a good day? In Luke 12, starting at verse 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's wife consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, was this a good day? Do we dream of this? If we found ourselves in this, would we say, you know, I am in the midst of a good day? But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. A good day has more to it than the material world that we contact. If a good day depended entirely on the circumstances that we're in, this man would have had it made. Does that come pretty close to home? We feel like it was a good day if we got our list of projects, we made good progress on it. If everything seems to be prospering and growing well, is that a good day? This man had great physical prosperity. He had provisions that went beyond, give us this day our daily bread. And he ruined the day by how he used it. In Revelation 3:15, we have a similar situation. The church of Laodiceans. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. Okay, we know that that's not realistic, right? But do we think that if we were almost there, it would mean it was a good day? If our wish list did not exist because we had obtained everything on it, would that be a good day? You notice it caused blindness in them.
That's right.
They felt satisfied. They felt that they had arrived and had no idea what God thought of them until God shared it. But do we dream of getting close to that? Of course, we think that we'd still be able to see. Yeah. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 5. I have a very sobering statement. Some of these cases maybe are not, don't seem to us as being realistic as, you know, things that we have to deal with, but the principles or the underlying mindset, I suspect, bleeds into our daily life more than what we often recognize. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting at verse 5, talking about a widow. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, has nobody to care for her, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Do we think that if we were living in pleasure, it would be a good day? That if we had the ability to satisfy every craving that our body had, every lust that it desired, and yet all within the bounds of morality, of course, we wouldn't be immoral. There's really no reason to think that she was immoral here, and unless it was in a spiritual sense. Do we think that would be what would make a good day? And yet the Word of God says that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In the midst of that physical pampering, she was spiritually dead. Would that be good? How close to that do we want to get? How much pampering do we want to do? A pampering goes beyond what's necessary for life, what's conducive to health. It gets into the realm of just for pleasure's sake. If we're living for pleasure, for physical pleasure, we're dead while we live. If the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments, where in there does the pursuit of pleasure reside? In James chapter 1, another very challenging situation, and yet it helps us to discern a little bit what it is that we consciously or subconsciously think makes a good day. In James 1, starting at verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Well, yes, we can understand that, can't we? That would make a good day, would it not? But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We can understand about rejoicing that you're exalted, right? Wouldn't that have a tendency to make a good day? But the rich to rejoice when he's brought low? Why? Because riches have a tendency to affect our thinking.
Right.
They have something to do with our feeling of security, our feeling of dependency or lack of dependency. And for the rich man to be reminded that riches are uncertain is something to rejoice in. Because it's a great danger that he will forget that.
Right.
So he can have a good day in the midst of watching his material assets be diminished. Can we do that? Okay. We're not in the rich category. Good. If we were in the rich category, after you worked long and hard to get there, could you rejoice as you watched them melt away? Because you were thrilled that God was reminding you that these riches are uncertain. He's doing it out of love for you, lest you would forget. It says, too, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. In those days, when it just seems like it's one trial right after another, do we know that there's a great possibility for blessing that day? Because it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried and he's passed it, he's proven faithful, it will be remembered on judgment day, and he will be rewarded accordingly. So those trials, those temptations that are such an annoyance, there's great potential there for good.
Amen.
And I know that's a little bit different way of looking at them. If we are never to go out and pursue temptation, I mean, try and get more of it, but as you're doing what's right, and opposition comes, the way it gets hard, can we rejoice or at least be grateful. There's opportunity for blessing here. If we endure, if we pass, if we don't yield to the temptation. In Acts 27, I want to show you some examples. I want you to think, according to your criteria, would it be a good day? In Acts 27, starting at verse 7, Paul is on his way to Rome. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salome, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lacia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Okay, was that a good day right there, to be admonished by Paul? And he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lie up toward the south and southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Was that a good day? They were wanting to sail on. The south wind blew softly. This is exactly what we were waiting for. Was it a good day? You've already read the next few verses, haven't you? Their supposed good day, good circumstances, enticed them to go contrary to the counsel of God. And so their supposed good day led to their, would you say, downfall? It enticed them into forbidden waters. But not long after, there arose against a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Do you think they were wishing that good day would have never been? They let the fair circumstances of the day dictate what they did, instead of what God had revealed. It's a dangerous place when our circumstances become more important to us than the will of God.
Right.
And I know Paul was a prisoner, and it seemed like a strange person to have revealed the will of God to you. But nevertheless, there was light there. But it was overwhelmed by the circumstances of the day. And yet it seemed like a very good day. But in reality, it seems like it was not. It did not work for their advantage. So if we're wanting to do something, and the right circumstances come along, that seemed to just really say amen to it, and today's the day. Is that a good day? We've got to be very careful, because if in the middle of following those circumstances that are so pleasant, we disregard what God has shared with us on the matter, our parents' circumstances are working us harm. So a good day is not totally dependent on the circumstances of the day. We think of Nabal in 1 Samuel 25. David is fleeing from Saul, and here in chapter 25, he has an interaction with Nabal. Actually, prior to that, they had protected Nabal's shepherds. And in verse 4, "And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. And now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will shew thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes. For we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand, unto thy servants, and to thy son David." We come in a good day. Circumstances are very pleasant here. There's every reason to think that if ever Nabal's going to be generous, it would be today. But was it a good day for Nabal? This very day, evil is determined against him by David because of Nabal's poor response. Once again, circumstances seem favorable, but the treatment of the circumstances worked harm. Whether or not we have a good day, is it totally based on circumstances? Now flip back over to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise," he was just talking about servants being subject to your masters. "If any man teach otherwise," and by the way, that isn't always pleasant circumstances there. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Supposing that gain is godliness, and somehow gain on this subject, somehow gain would make a good day. Okay. You open the mail one day, there's a check in there made out to you from a source that is not questionable. You know it's a good check for $20,000. Does that make it a good day? You open your Bible one morning, and I never saw it before. It never sank in like it did now, but there's a command of God that deals specifically with something that I'm faced with today. Is that a good day? Which do I value more? It says, after it talks about the love of money being the root of all evil, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Don't get close to the idea that money, that possessions are going to be the answer, are going to make your life just everything that you ever dreamed it would be.
Right.
Thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. A fight of faith. It means there's going to be adversity. There's going to be trials. But he says to fight that. It's kind of like he's saying that's superior to money. Being rich, that's superior. You'd rather have the fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Oh, okay. So true life doesn't come from money. True life comes from godliness. Okay. Well, that's why godliness would be so much more valuable than everything else. And it does make mention of having food and raiment. That is a part of godliness, to provide for those needs. But there's great danger when we think that it has to be way above that.
Right.
So if godliness is the true source of life, then that command from God's Word is more valuable than that check that was in the mail. Unless, of course, if you don't have food and raiment, then maybe there would be a little more question, but still, you could fast a day or two, probably. But it's so easy to think that a good day has a lot to do with the prosperity of the day, or the pleasant circumstances, in which case we become servants to the circumstances. We're in bondage to them. Whereas godliness, he could be godly any day, regardless of the circumstances. At least we're supposed to be. We're commanded to be. We're commanded to rise above the circumstances, not be overcome by evil, not be overcome by harm, but to be able to be godly regardless of whether the circumstances are pleasant or not. And maybe this isn't very considerate to be back and forth, but back to 2 Kings now. There's a little bit of a progression here, okay? It's working up towards the end. And the end is not necessarily better than the rest of it, but this is a foundation for something. In 2 Kings chapter 7, the Syrians were laying siege to Samaria. And in verse 6, "For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, 'We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household.'" Now we live a little different situation. But something to keep in mind in the midst of our trials of life. This is a day of good tidings. We have something that gives life that the world desperately needs. The world is a little bit like the people in Samaria. They've come to the conclusion that life depends on staying within the walls of Samaria. Life depends on pursuing their own ideas, doing their own thing, not taking up their cross, not following Christ. But they're going to starve to death. The lepers had found God's provision for life out in the field. And we're really enjoying it. We're really enjoying it. And they realize that, you know what? We better share the news with those who are starving of hunger. And the king was skeptical. He said, you know what? The Syrians know that we're desperately hungry. They've set a trap for us. A lot of the world still thinks that about God's provision for their life, for the life of God to be within them. No, he's just trying to rob us. He's just trying to take what happiness we have. But we've got provisions for true, abundant life of God. Let us be mindful of the opportunities that we have to help those who are starving. Life, the provision of God will save our soul if we're willing to go without the gate to Samaria and partake of it. If we're willing to take up our cross and follow Him, despite what unpleasant circumstances there may be in that day. An example of pleasant circumstances is found in Esther. And yet I want to show you, point out to you something about those pleasant circumstances. In Esther chapter 9, verse 20, this is after the Jews have been delivered, their enemies have been killed. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month, Adar, and the 15th day of the same yearly, as days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning unto a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is, the lot, to consume them, and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he had devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. The day had been turned from sorrow to joy, from mourning into a good day. It was a good day because God's people had been spared. The enemy had been put to shame. To the Jews, it was a good day. How many widows were weeping that day? Because their husband had been killed just on that day a year ago. But it was good because God's people had been blessed in a special way. God had been magnified that day. And that was something to rejoice about, to remember. And I thought it noteworthy. Feasting and joy, but also the sending of portions one to another and gifts to the poor. That being part of their celebration. It wasn't all about just feasting, filling their own stomachs. But in the midst of it, there was a sharing with those in need. Does that fit our idea of what it takes to have a good day? To be able to bless somebody in need? Or does our good day consist chiefly of getting our own appetites taken care of? Now back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may be also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Do you see what Paul held high there? What we need to hold high? He says in verse 9, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. The Word of God has free course. It's able to work. But do we, for the sake of avoiding suffering, bind the Word of God? Not let it have its work? Not yield in obedience to it? Are we binding the Word of God that we might not suffer trouble? Or are we willingly suffering hardships that the Word of God might be obeyed? It's a faithful saying. If we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. But if we deny Him, He also will deny us. Well, why would we deny Him? That we wouldn't have to suffer. So, was Paul having a good day? Suffering trouble as an evildoer? To many of those watching, it's like, well, he must be a criminal or they wouldn't have him in chains. If you were in that situation, would you be having a good day? Do we consider it a good day if we suffer for His name? Okay, I'll move on to the next one. So you can think about that one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Can we have a good day in the midst of such reproaches, such struggles for Christ's sake? Or do we find ourselves slipping back and say, well, it could be worse. It could be worse. The troubles can get worse. Are we a little bit off focus when we do that?
Paul says, I take pleasure in it because it provides an ideal opportunity for the power of God to be made manifest. Right. And one of those ways in which it's made manifest is when we keep on doing what's right. Yeah. And God provides. God shows us the way through and we move forward. So is it possible that we could learn to view trials for Christ's sake as foundation for a good day?
Amen.
And not only that, but he says, I take pleasure in it. He doesn't just tolerate it. He actually gets a thrill out of it. Because God is going to show Himself strong today if I keep myself in line. Let's ask yourself that question again in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. They came to a town called Philippi. Paul and Silas were teaching the people, and then they have this damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. She follows them around saying these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. Paul gets tired of it. Rebukes the spirit. And so the spirit has to leave. Wouldn't that be a good day? Would you be having a good day? You had one of those trying situations where you have this evil spirit testifying the truth. It's like, I don't want any connection with you. Cast you out. Wonderful power of God may manifest there. Good day. Then her masters have a problem with that, and so they catch you and they have you put in prison, and you're still having a good day. It was a lot easier when the power of God was manifest. I could see that God was at work. But now what? It's all come to this old dark dungeon. What would I have been doing at midnight? What would you have been doing at midnight? Would you be awful gloomy? Would you be thinking, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I had a good day earlier today, but now I can see no point in what's going on. God had been glorified, but now this mess. What would you have been doing at midnight? Would you have been preventing the completion of a good day? Or would you have been, in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. For what? They sang praises unto God. It doesn't say that it had anything to do with the circumstances of the day. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. You know, we rejoice when progress is being made. I can understand how God is being glorified in this situation. But then sometimes there's a letdown when it just seems like what's happening at this moment has really no purpose. Like when they were put in prison. How often do we hinder the power of God because of our depression, because of us becoming disillusioned. Were we following God for having good circumstances? Or were we doing the will of God because it was the right thing to do? And if that's the reason why we were doing the will of God, can we continue on even when we're in the prison? How often is the manifestation of God's power limited by me? In Hebrews 11, maybe we're familiar with that one already. But an important point here is we really enjoy doing the will of God when it seems like good things are happening. But what about when progress seems to stop? When it seems like we're making fools of ourselves and of God, of course, too. At least so it seems. In verse 32, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets. And we love this, okay? Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Yes, it's good day. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Good day, isn't it? Oh, let's continue. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial, cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Oh, of whom the world was not worthy, in case you had missed that. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Were they having a good day? These who were stoned and sawn asunder and tempted and wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, were they having a good day? Well, they were experiencing the power of God in a very remarkable way, weren't they? Because these trials would make most people turn back. So, like the Apostle Paul, he took pleasure in such things. So in that way, they could say that, yes, they were having a good day. Despite the fact that circumstances were very unpleasant. It's beautiful that God gives His viewpoint on this. The world wasn't worthy of such people. Well, that's not how it looked from society's viewpoint. From a human viewpoint, it looked like they were the scum of the earth. They weren't fit to dwell with the rest of the human beings. These old, crazy people. The These all, having obtained a good report through faith, didn't receive the fullness of God's plan. But is obtaining a good report through faith enough to make it a good day?
Amen.
If being faithful to the will of God today means that all the circumstances of this day, all the physical circumstances of the day would somehow turn into bitter, unpleasant things, would I still be able to say it was a good day? Or would I be swayed? Do I have to have physical comfort to make it a good day? Do I have to have pleasant surroundings? Or do I have to have faithfulness to the will of God? In Titus chapter 2, starting at that well-known but for many people overlooked verse of 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Grace of God teaches us how to live. Also, God has provided to redeem us from all iniquity, all things that are out of order, that are not according to His purposes or His good pleasure, and to purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So we're taught to deny. We're redeemed. God is in the process of redeeming us, purifying us, a peculiar people. So if today I'm faithful in that today's part of that progress, living soberly, denying ungodliness, being made free from iniquity, becoming more zealous of good works. If I'm faithful in that today, was that enough to have it be a good day? It's interesting, the zealous of good works. It's not somebody who's dragging their feet. Well, okay, if I have to. No. Brings to my mind more the idea of, okay, just tell me how you want it done and I'll do it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You see how I fought a good fight, finished my course, I've kept the faith. If you could look at that as today's portion of that, have I done that today? If so, wasn't that a good day?
Amen.
And you notice how when that type of good day is what you call a good day, it leads up to a bigger good day. Because a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, it will be a good day if today, if my todays are good days in the sense that I've been faithful to the, what God has called me to.
Amen.
So it's a challenge to me, and I think it's a challenge to you, to realize that, you know, there can be pleasant circumstances today. It can be unpleasant. But it can be a good day if I keep in mind what makes a good day. That a good day is made by the Word of God.
Amen.
Being applied and being followed today in my situation. And it does not depend on others doing it as well. I can do it even in the midst of... You can have a good day even in the midst of blackness.
Right.
So, what is our excuse? So when you ask me if I've had a good day, or how was your week? I struggle with that. Like, do I evaluate... What is it exactly you want to know? Did I keep a proper mindset, keep things in the proper perspective this week? Or did I really get pretty far on my list of things I wanted to do?